Now, Joe Clement is with me on the phone. Joe is one of our standard Old Mole contributors. They are a steward of the Ask Me Local 88 and an employee of Multnomah County Library. Today, we're talking about the Multnomah County Library District Board's bond measure that will be on the November 2020 ballot to increase the East County Library's total square footage by nearly 50%. This intends to address that about 40% of Multnomah County's population is east of Interstate 205, but only 20% of library space is in that region. So if approved, the measure would build, rebuild, or renovate 7 library spaces, add modern technology, infrastructure, including gigabyte speed internet, and update library facilities and materials handling. The measure would create a community-based oversight and reporting body. And there has been much enthusiasm for this bond. Who can oppose expansion of a library given its critical importance to our communities? But we want to talk about some of the disturbing trends in not only this bond measure, but in libraries more broadly, and what modernization might mean. So, Joe, from your perspective, how will modernization occur, and what does this mean for workers in the Multnomah County library system?
Well, libraries across the country and the world have used automated processes and machines for decades now.
Processes for handling their materials when they're checked in or going to different branches. And the Multnomah County Library in the bond that it is proposing is aiming to introduce more of this kind of technology into the branches. It already has put a pilot of some automated materials check-in and sorting machines at the Midland Library that came online just about when everything shut down. And so we don't know what that's going to be like as an impact on our actual community. But the expectation is that this pilot would prove successful and that they would introduce it into other library branches, which would allow them to budget fewer workers whose labor the machines are in theory conserving and front loading and making more efficient, to be repurposed for other things, whether other kinds of library worker jobs or even security. But in the case of the bond and its aspiration of a much needed East County flagship building, the automation is a way of making it possible to fund the staffing of that library while only adding 10 to 20 jobs to the actual library system.
And that's a pretty tiny percentage of new workers given the demands that such a large library, similar to the main central library in downtown Portland, would need, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's important to note that being in East County means that this library would be an addition to that community in terms of jobs and hires. There would be external and internal hires, but the system as a whole would be funding that by creating working conditions that the workers are not looking forward to in other parts of the library system. And this has been the library's main frame for the importance of this, is that it is an equity issue, and that is something that no one can disagree with. But we have to kind of be asking ourselves, what is the engine of transformation here? And it's following a way of thinking about organizations in public service that is called neoliberalism. It's called capitalist realism. It's this view toward making the human element of our institutions as minimal as possible because they cost so much. And that's one of the hidden issues of the automation, is that on the front side, the public facing side, the message is we want to deliver materials to you faster and more efficiently, which is true. And we could expect to see some improvement on that. But the underside of that, which is what we hear in the library, is that labor costs are going up. And a large contributor of that, a disproportionate contributor of that, is the private health insurance that our employer-based health insurance forces the county libraries to fund. And there's a disconnect between the real drivers of the squeeze on libraries.
And that kind of squeeze we see, well, we just saw last year with the cuts in the parks budget cuts, which laid off many workers. And of course, these were middle class jobs that the city was losing in part to cover these costs, not only of the private healthcare system, but also in redirecting limited funds into areas that were not actually employing the workers who were providing those needed services to communities across the city. And so, you know, this kind of neoliberal model that has invaded the public sphere as well as the private is as much at work here as the Pentagon in terms of how corporate vendors and investors are influencing library services. And do you want to say something about that angle of this push for automating and investing in new technology? You know, what might appear to our listeners and users of libraries as important, access to ebooks and so on, without fully recognizing what more and more investment in that technological delivery means in terms of relationships with corporate providers?
Yeah, libraries have been paying outside organizations, often organizations that are incorporated, and so they are corporations, to provide ebooks and other digital content, but also machines that we use, automated sorters and check-in machines would be ours, but the deep service of them would be something that is outsourced. The same thing goes for our space saver shelving that allows us to store things extra tight in our off-public areas. But then ebooks themselves are less like public property that the library owns and more like rental property that the license to has to be renewed after so many uses or a period of time. And, you know, this is a devil's bargain is, I think, the real takeaway. It's not that there's anything nefarious going on right now, but that it is part and parcel of a kind of auctioning and partitioning off of the commons that when it is owned directly by the public, you know, we actually kind of have security in that. And as things are farmed out to private corporations, whether they're doing the right thing or not now, it means that the money that taxpayers pay for these public goods is going out into the broader economy, rather than staying with the actual community where the goods are supposed to serve.
So it's not the technology per se that's the problem. It's the way in which technology or these technological ebooks and other prize introductions into places or spaces like libraries are privately owned. And so instead of investing in a book that might remain on the shelf for decades, there's this repeated requirement to continue using public resources to pay off these corporate providers.
Yeah, and the idea of use, while important, is also in some quarters kind of fetishized, where if things don't get used, they don't have value. And this is kind of a perennial debate within libraries, because weeding is a kind of practical necessity. When you're adding to collections, you run out of room unless you make room. And how do you make room? But it runs obviously into intellectual freedom and censorship questions when books are not replaced and no one's asking why not, if there is actually maybe some merit. And I think it goes to librarians who make those decisions to have an ethics. But when we're talking about public goods and kind of accountability structures, it's not like there's an oversight committee to make sure that books get replaced. And by transferring the actual holding from a physical book to a digital one, which a number of friends I have complained about, they can't find a book except in ebook form, this makes that power play all the more easy to execute.
You're listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO 90.7. This is Lori Mercier speaking with Joe Clement about the upcoming Multnomah County Library District Board bond measure and libraries in general and their place in the general privatization of public services. So, Joe, we were earlier talking about an article by Ben Webster, which we can post on the Old Mole's website, his article about how library workers themselves have become part of this mentality of reducing the skills, the general process of skill destruction that takes place in any workplace, and about how so much library work is becoming minding of the machine. So do you want to say anything about just the nature of work in libraries and how this automation and new emphasis on technology is changing that work?
Well, libraries have, undergone a transformation over decades and centuries, and the growth of large library systems in stable states over the last couple hundred years has led to divisions of labor. So you don't just have librarians like you did 100 years ago who did virtually all of the work that makes the library. You have access services, which is what we call the people in our library system who shelve the books, but who also check them out to you when you want to take one away. And then the librarians and their assistants who provide information services, answering not just kind of where do I find this, but helping you actually decide what it is you really need to be looking for to find what you're looking for. So in our library, we have this division between the access services and the information services. And over time, there's been an offloading of job duties. Workers with higher pay rates lose duties to lower paid workers who are they're given them. You are now going to do this. You're now going to process holds, check them out and put them on the hold shelf, where before that was only the purview of these higher paid workers. Most dramatically, we saw that a few years ago when they decided to change the job classification of library workers who were called pages, who just did materials handling, to this hybrid of the page and the clerk classification. And so we've seen what we do in the library change a lot, and I know it's not unique to Multnomah County Library or even really to libraries. It's a kind of process of making workers more flexible and more interchangeable so that there's less barriers to making sure that the work gets done. But in the library, you could be doing some of these discrete tasks, like you shelf books, or you check books out, but, you're basically on hand for any kind of question people have. And that has, over the recent years, blown up into a full-on need for social workers, because we have a disproportionate amount of people who have nowhere else to go who come to the libraries. The libraries are basically day shelters in places that don't have day shelters, or that they have shelters, but people have to leave in the morning and can't come back till night. Emilio Estevez made a movie. I'm going to say it's a so-so movie, but it's worth watching because you've never seen a movie like it, called The Public, which is about this issue of what happens when people who have nowhere else to go, turn to the library and say, don't kick us out. So we're juggling a lot of technical skills, but then emotional and social skills that I think a lot of workers in service industries are expected to do in some manner. But in the library's case, it's really a matter of our ideals of what the library is even about. It's a place where we are affirming and supporting the community. And so people come in with all kinds of needs that are changing what people think libraries are about.
And yet those service workers who are so critical and who are facing the community, really on the front lines of serving so many different needs in the community, are not paid for the work that they do or for the value of the labor that they provide. Joe Clement, just in the remaining minute or so that we have, since this is a time when that critical space, the library space, is closed due to the pandemic, do you want to remind listeners about some of the services that they can still access at this moment?
Yeah, the library still has all kinds of these electronic and digital materials, so to speak, for checkout or streaming use. If you can access the library's website, multcolib.org, you go to the main page and there's a tab right there in front of you that says ebooks and more. That, you know, takes you to all of those collections. But then you can also still email the library with questions of all the sorts that we ever took before, whether it's research, whether it's information about COVID-19, information about pandemics and history. You can still ask questions of that by going to the Contact Us section of that website. Unfortunately, we don't have phone-based services. They have not figured out a way to make that work, but you can call somebody you do know who can access the internet and they can forward your question the way I just described.
Okay, Joe Clement, thanks so much for talking with us today about, well, really these illuminating insights about the challenges facing libraries, the changes that have been happening, and the ways we might want to think about this upcoming Multnomah County Library bond measure and how those resources that are sorely needed might be allocated differently to address not only the community's concerns, but also the need for good library workers to help provide our community's important services and access. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down.
Thank you, Joe, for those reflections appropriate for National Library Workers' Day. Today is also Passover, and we thought it fitting to play Paul Robeson's rendition of Go Down, Moses, a song that represented liberation of the ancient Jewish people from Egyptian slavery and was also interpreted by African Americans as their own escape of American slavery.